And we are wrapping up our sermon series on learning to pray like Jesus. Today is not a sermon. Today is more like classroom instruction. So I hope you will tolerate that a little bit as we wrap this up. I hope it's been practical. I hope it's been helpful. But today it's not like a normal preaching time. It is more like an instruction time and discussing practical ways that we can improve our prayer life. So before we do that, I just want to share a little bit about me, perhaps some things you do not know, or at least one thing you do not know. My wife does, but I hope she does. Happy anniversary, dear. 45 years. Isn't that cool? Yes, we had a great time. Had a great time yesterday. Went to the Madura play last night. It was a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. I think they come back at least once a year. Here's the thing. I have a very vulnerable soft spot in my heart for situations, people that are, I can obviously see are hurting. How many of you have seen those commercials on TV where they show the dogs and cats that are, you know, that are in need of food and tender loving care, right? You all, have you seen those? Seen those commercials? And, you know, I have to skip through those commercials because, oh man, there's not enough money in my checking account to take care of those poor animals. So I really get this in my chest. Something's got to be done. Something's got to be done. So I'm going to move up from animals now to other situations. I see adults in life in situations where I wish I could solve that problem for you. I wish I could do something to make it all work out. I'm hurting for you so badly. I talked to a pastor just this past week, and his church is really in turmoil right now, just about ready to blow up in his face. And I wish I could do something, just step right in and say, let me fix this problem for you. But I don't have as much sympathy for that as I do for when I'm out in the world and I see a child, and this just breaks my heart. I see the child going shopping with mom, and the child is underdressed or poorly dressed, and you can obviously see the family doesn't have enough money to put proper clothes on the child, and just this look on that child's face. If I have the eye contact, and I look at the mom, and I think, boy, I almost see that sign of methamphetamine use. You know, you can see it in their eyes, you can see it in their face, and Lord, what's going to happen to that girl or to that boy? My heart just, I want to fix this. But what is your future going to be, little girl? Where are you going to be 10 years from now, 15 years from now? I can paint the picture. I can almost see where you're going to be. And I just start breaking up in a store. I think it's a weakness I have in many ways. And I would think, you know, if I was a billionaire, I could look at that situation and say, Mom, come on over here. I want to love you in a way that can help you and your daughter or your son. You need treatment. Here, let me just write the check out. Go to treatment. And let me write the check out that's necessary for you to get your life straightened out and for your daughter to have proper clothing and for you to feed her correctly. Let me just write a check out. But I'm not a billionaire. Are you a billionaire? Millionaire? Can you do that? Can you go fix the world's problems on your own, one at a time? You can't. But what I hold in my hand right now is far more effective than a checkbook to fix a problem like I just described. What I hold in my hand are notes written down for individual people that I love. And there are scripture verses on these note cards that are relevant to individuals in my life. I'm holding my grandsons here at the moment, my little Luke. And I'll get to this in just a minute. But the power of this prayer and the scripture behind it and the specific requests I have for him, which I'll share in just a moment, is more powerful than any checkbook can possibly do for my grandson or anybody out in the world. And if I see somebody out in the world like I've done in the past, and I see them hurting just like I just described, a quick prayer up to the Lord. Lord, I put them in your hands right now. Mom, daughter, mom, son, dad, son, I put them in your hands. Lord, bring somebody into their life, maybe me, bring somebody into their life that can change their life forever and turn the direction of this child from where they're going to going into a direction of hope. Power, power, power. Well, that's just a little bit of inside me. I get choked up a lot. There's another person in this congregation gets choked up a lot too. Jerry, where's Jerry? He's not feeling good. I could talk about him then this way. Because, oh, does he get choked up? Oh, my. Doesn't he, Jody? Yeah. I love that, to see that. Okay, so on the screen in front of you, you're going to see some points. Helpful hints, practical hints to help us with our prayer life. So here we go. Today's sermon topic is practical helps to improve your prayer life, and go right away to helpful hint number one there, Ryan. Appreciate that. Using prayer cards to keep track of requests using scripture attached to specific needs. Now, why prayer cards? Well, you know, I'm going to pull out, this is my prayer journal. Patty has a prayer journal as well. And this one is old. This is divided up into various categories. I have the categories of ACTS. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? ACTS, acts, and adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and the lists are long and long and long. Here in adoration, I go back and I see way back in December 16th, 1998, I started putting this in a list here. And request after request after request, and confession the same thing, thanksgiving the same thing, supplication. Oh, it's fun to look at this list. Go way back to 98 and all the specific requests I have, and I highly encourage you to journal like this. Please do. It's good to write down your prayer requests, because over here in the right-hand column is yes, 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 yes. There's not a no here. Not a no on these pages for all the requests I have put down. There's some that are still waiting, but they're all there. You can go back over history and praise the Lord. Look what God has done in every one of these areas. So here is a journal. I highly encourage you to use a journal for your prayer time. And in the front of my journal, I have the list of church members right here. Pray for you regularly. Keep that updated as often as possible. So I ask you to put in prayer requests, email me, or put them on the back of the card so that I can pray for you. But why a prayer card instead of a list? I think this is important. A list in front of you can seem like it's mechanical, okay? And so you've got 20 things to pray about, and every day you got to pray about those things. And a list can get a little hard to do, a little mechanical to do. And so what I'm recommending, and this is what Paul Miller in his book, A Praying Life, recommends, kind of switch over, if you would, from a list. And, you know, the format acts is fine, but as we talked about before, you don't do relationships that way. We're going to talk about this now, we're going to talk about that now, we're going to talk about this now. No, deal with the relationship. And so rather than just a long, lengthy list you have to go through every time, start writing notes on a card. And you might think, well, that's legalistic, but it's not. Think of it this way. I want to bring this person before you, Jesus. Here's the one on the top of my pile right now, on the top of my heart, top of my concern. And so can we talk about this person right now, Jesus, Heavenly Father? And, you know, if a personnel manager wants to go to a boss and say, you know, I've got a file here on this individual. Can we talk about this going into the boss's office? Maybe that's one way of looking at it. Lord, let's deal with these issues right now. And the benefit of this is that you can put on this card and on the back, if you eventually get there, the scripture verse that you want to read for that particular individual. I'll just give you an example. Here's my grandson, Luke, my oldest grandson. And so I picked a scripture verse that I want for God to accomplish in his life, and that is Matthew 6:33. And here's the prayer. May Luke, dear God, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all these things would be added to him. And I can tell you why, but I don't think I need to, that particular prayer is relevant to my grandson Luke. I'll give you a few other things here I put down on my prayer card. Lord, I want you to release my grandson Luke from the spell of screens, you know, video screens and games. He's attached to those. If you could just release him from that, give him a break that bondage. Here's another one. I praise you, Lord, for full recovery and a continued recovery from autism and coming off the scale of autism. How to praise, that is, total praise. Lord, would you increase his love for others and his sensitivity to others, probably a part of the autism factor there, but just increase his love for others. And Lord, would you increase his appetite? Just increase his appetite for healthy food. Just a few of the prayer requests I have. So by putting this on a prayer card, then it doesn't get so legalistic. I've got a pile, and so what I do is pray for this group every day, or this group once a week, or this group over here once a month. Just kind of go through them, and if you don't get through them all, don't worry about it. Just listen to what the Lord is asking you to do. Put them down on prayer cards. Prayer cards are very, very helpful. Okay, and here's one thing you can do. During your prayer time, you say, well, I've got 10, 15 minutes for prayer time this morning. I don't have time to do this. Skip the prayer. Skip the prayer. Just concentrate on a prayer card. And then for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days in a row, instead of your prayer time, do this. And then that's what you're going to be praying about. So helpful hint number one, I got this from Paul Miller years ago, and I'm trying to re-up my prayer list and getting away from long lists, but instead doing cards. So number one, use prayer cards to keep track of requests using scripture attached to specific needs. Helpful hint number two, understand that growing Christians are more aware of personal sins and will automatically pray more because they need Jesus more. I put a diagram in your bulletins. Pull that out right now. It's a little helpful diagram. This also is in Paul Miller's book, Praying Life. And I found this to be extremely helpful in understanding the process of praying, because if you look on the left, here's you, me, and when a person comes to know Christ as Lord and Savior, right, you know, as at the beginning of their Christian walk, they might have come out of a life of sin, of ugliness, and so Jesus is fabulous because Jesus is helping them get over addictions, but most of the folks who come to know Jesus are not very aware of all that much wrong in their life, especially children. You know, they haven't lived ungodly lives for very long. So what we have here on the top, and I've described this as God's holiness, which is veiled from that new Christian. It's kind of veiled. Doesn't realize the enormity of God's righteousness in their life. And on the bottom, it's my sinful nature that's hidden from me. Okay, you see how that works? So a new Christian is not aware of all the sinfulness in their life. They're really not. And the Holy Spirit's going to take time over time and make more and more aware over time. And so Jesus actually is kind of small. Jesus is actually kind of small to a new Christian. I know they're excited, but really they're so oblivious to God's holiness and what he expects, and they're really oblivious to their sinful nature and all the evil that's inside of them. Jesus is actually small. And so they don't really need him for all that much. But as time goes on, and the Lord keeps opening up more of their sinfulness, and God's going to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, okay, then they're going to see more of God's holiness. Oh, here's what God expects of me, and here's what I'm not doing. And it's going to increase over time and makes Jesus then very big. And so automatically, a growing Christian will pray more because they need Jesus more. See that? Makes simple sense, right? Simple concept. And I just want you to know that, that if you're struggling with your prayer life, there's something stopping you. Your growth has just kind of been on pause. Because if you're growing in your Christian life, you become more aware of your sinfulness every week, every month, and Jesus will be bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. Just helpful hint number two. Helpful hint number three. I think this is really very, very important. And that is this. Learn to listen to God's voice. Learn to listen to God's voice without putting words in his mouth. There are two extremes when it comes to listening to the Lord. Prayer is listening. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is listening to God as well. So how do we do that? How do we get direction from him? How do we hear his voice? I think this is so, so important. There's two extremes. One extreme is that God doesn't speak to us apart from his word. That's all you need. And boy, there's a lot of truth to that, but the problem is it's to the extreme. God does speak to us through his word. But there are things that you won't get in his word. Directions to your life. Should I do this? Should I relocate here? Do I take education from this school versus this school? What do I do in life? Those things will not be revealed to you. So how are you going to know what God's will is? And so that's one extreme. Just the word is all you need. Don't bother about trying to hear God's voice. I had a pastor at a seminar just a few weeks ago up in by Bemidji or by Brainerd, I mean, and got up in front of this whole group and said, God does not speak to you individually. Really? No, all you need is the word and everything else is just, you know, and I just sat in my seat and said, wait a minute. God does not speak to people individually. And all you need is the word. Well, to a degree, that's true. But wait a minute. I thought we had a relationship. I thought you do speak to us. So that's one extreme. The other extreme is I hear from God every day, and I can't, you know, some of his words are his, some of them are mine. That's the other extreme. It's not tied to the word of God. So there's a middle path. The middle path of listening to God is mainly is in agreement with what his word is saying to me, and am I taking the word in context and accurately interpreting it, and is God directing me through the word so we're on the right road, but I also hear directly from the Lord with nudges and directions. So I love these verses. These are verses that indicate that God does speak to us. Psalm 16, verse 7 and 8, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the word, but also in my heart, in my mind, in the night also. My heart instructs me. Do you see that? I have set the Lord always before me. That's critical. If you want to listen to the Lord and hear from the Lord, he has to be first place in your life. No idols. Get rid of the idols. Be walking with him. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Psalm 32:8, I quoted this years ago, quoted a couple weeks ago. Beautiful verse. Here's what the Lord says to us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. In the context, of course, is David. Talking about his sin, talking about his sinfulness, but it also implies to us as well. I believe that. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And I think the Lord does that. John 10:27, this is the verse that came to my mind when I heard the pastor say, God doesn't speak to people. Well, wait a minute. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So there are scriptural evidences that God does speak, God does lead. We know the Apostle Paul was stopped at one point, waiting for the Holy Spirit to redirect him, and the Bible didn't tell him which way to go, so the Holy Spirit had to tell him which way to go. So we know he does that, and he does it in our lives today. So how do we do that? Let's put that up on the screen for our folks to look at. So how can we hear and sense the voice of the Lord? Okay? Well, number one, and this is so critical, spend time in the Word. Spend time in the Word. What you hear on Sunday mornings is not enough. You need to be Bible students, students of the Word. You need to know this. You need to know how to interpret it. You need to know how to understand the context. That's so critical. So, number one, spend time in the Word, and then also spend time in deep devotionals. And what I mean by deep devotionals is there is fluff, and then there is meat. Okay? There's milk, and then there is meat. Find devotionals that really plumb the depths of this Word. Patty, the one that we're reading right now, Scotty Smith, very good one. It's right up here if you want to buy a copy. Right up there, there's two left. Scotty does an excellent job. It's what Patty and I use for our devotions in the morning. Gets us into the Word, gets us loving Jesus more and more every day. There's others as well I can recommend to you that go deep. One of them is Puritans, going back to listening to voices of the Puritans. And boy, if you want to really go deep, listen to them. So open the Word and then get some deep devotionals that apply it in so many good ways, because you need to be grounded. Number two, listen. Number two, get that up there for me, Ryan. Thank you. It's coming, I think. Listen during prayer times for the still, small voice of God. The still, small voice of God that Elijah heard. Remember that on the mountain? He wasn't in the fire, wasn't in the earthquake, wasn't in the wind. He heard God's voice in this still, small voice. So a good portion of your prayer time needs to be just silence. Stop. Stop your busyness. Stop your hectic lives. Bring your request to the Lord indeed, but then say, Lord, what do you want to say to me today? What in your Word today and what in the devotional today do you want me to apply? What do you want me to do? Listen. God will speak. Listen. Number three, discern, discern, discern. It's a gift, I know, but we all have the ability to discern. The more you are a student of the Word, the more you can distinguish God's voice from your own voice and a spirit voice. Because sometimes demonic spirits will come to you and they want you to do something and don't listen to that. But you'll probably know that right away. It's your own voice you need to be careful of. It's your own voice. It's your own desires. It's what you want God to say to you, and you kind of make it up and say, I think I heard God say this. Well, wait a minute. It's your own voice? And here's something interesting as well. The Holy Spirit and demonic spirits usually speak in the second person, not in the first. You won't hear them say, I. They'll say, you. Oftentimes, demonic spirits do that too. You are, and then you'll hear something that's vile, or you are this, and something about your identity that it's a curse. No, that's demonic. You are didn't come from you; it came from them. Or if it's from the Holy Spirit, you should do this today. And oftentimes, it'll be second person. Hear the voice of the Lord. Okay, so discern between your voice and the Holy Spirit's voice. Number four, seek godly wisdom. Seek godly wisdom from others, okay? Very, very important. If you're looking at a choice and a direction in your life, and you're seeking God's voice, seeking God's direction, God also uses godly people in your life. And they can see if this is right. They can sense if this is right. They can bring this to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not sure about this, but this person wants to do this. Is this the right thing to do? And often the Lord will speak to godly people to give you godly advice, okay? When I was way back thinking about a seminary to go to, I knew God had called me. I didn't know where to go, which school would be best, part of the free church. I grew up in the free church, so Trinity was number one. And so applied, or at least called them, sent them, a request. Dallas as well. Patty's brother-in-law, Ray Orland, was going there. Good school, great school. Didn't hear much about Western, but then through a friend of ours, Gary, right? Gary Basham, said, you have to apply there as well. So Trinity, Dallas, Western. Lord, where am I going to go? which school do you want me to attend? And it was amazing that in prayer and signs, as I mentioned earlier, God was clearly indicating where I should go. And so one of the best things was when I contacted Western, the profs called me back within the same week. I can't believe it. And on the phone, Daryl, how can we help you in this process? How can we answer any questions you may have about the school? Can I call you again? Can we help your journey coming here? And that made it so much easier for me that godly men told me on the phone, we are praying for you by name. Isn't that cool? That's so cool. And so I was directed through a number of things. Gary for one, professors at Western for another. That's what God wanted me to do. So he will direct you. Number five, you have already standing orders. Continue in them until redirected. Interesting story about a student friend of mine at Western, and we'd be doing study together, kind of a study group together, and I just looked up to him. He was I called him my near rear admiral friend. He was a captain in the Navy. And so I said, tell me your story. And he said, well, I could keep on. I reached my retirement age in the Navy. I've been in the Pentagon. And the next promotion coming soon would be to be a rear admiral. So he's a near rear. He was close to it. And he said, you know, so I started looking at my life and thinking, you know, do I really want to spend the rest of my life behind a desk in the military, in the Pentagon, or does God have other plans for me? And so he was having standing orders. But then God, through other people, he told me, I began asking that question, do you have other plans for my life, God? And through prayer and through wise advice from godly men in his life, pastor friends of his, they said, you know, we think that God is directing you into the ministry. Isn't that cool? That's so cool. In fact, a high percentage of the students at Western at that time were second career people. They left their careers and they became students in order to change the direction of their life. And they're all content, all the ones I talked to, he was content to stay in the military and continue on for a few more years, get another promotion, get a bigger paycheck, I'm sure, you know, once you get promoted. But he felt, no, God is redirecting me. And so wait for that redirection. You have standing orders. There are commands in Scripture you don't have to think about. For example, should I or should I not witness to my coworker? That's a no-brainer. There's already standing orders. Witness and share your gospel with them. Share the gospel with them. But there's other times you don't know. And God may be redirecting your life. And wait for that redirection to become clear. Okay? So our time is pretty much up, but I want to do one application today and get a little bit of feedback. Feel free to raise your hand in a second if you'd like to, and we'll take the questions here, not later. But here's the application. I want you today and this week as your assignment, pick a scripture verse. Pick a scripture verse for every family member you are praying for. Okay? Pick a scripture verse. Sit down and ask the Lord, Lord, what scripture passage fits best with this relation of mine? Son, daughter, granddaughter, grandson, which scripture verse fits best? And give the Lord 5-10 minutes to speak to you, and hopefully a scripture verse will come that will be just perfect, that you can pray again and again and again. So that's the application. Pick a scripture verse this week for every family member you are praying for. Well, questions. Do you have any questions about what we talked about today? Is it something practical you want to ask about prayer life, hearing the voice of the Lord? Feel free to do it right now because we're not going to spend time later. We're going to listen to Dave Barton later. So questions? questions? All right. It sounds good. Jim, come on and close our time in prayer. Congregation, please stand, and we will be dismissed with prayer.